Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I think we're going to be talking with Marshall Masters this evening about Planet X, and I think Marshall might be on the line there. Marshall, is that you?
Yep.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. I'm looking at this extreme weather, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the floods. Are you of the opinion that we are in the biblical tribulation right now?
Yeah, that's what we were saying in our latest Signs article. My wife, Jennifer, posts those on our site at YOWUSA.com. And that's... there's a lot that people don't understand, do not know, because the mainstream media has been incredibly effective in suppressing a lot of this information. They localize it, trivialize it, dismiss it, or just not report it. But there's very heavy trends going on in all forms. All kinds. What concerns us most is the increase in terms of meteor sightings. That we now have daytime fireballs. I have predicted that by the end of this year, we'll have an event that'll be large enough that the mainstream media will have to cover it honestly. And whatever that is going to be, I can tell you that there's a lot of impacts that are happening. People's homes and businesses are blowing up. There's an awful lot going on. But these things are localized and trivialized. They go, well, it's a gas main blew up, or this or that or whatever. That's the reason why I say it will be an event significant enough that they can't trivialize it, localize it, or dismiss it.
Do you think the mainstream media can be honest? It seems like it's just getting worse and worse.
I don't really... I mean, the mainstream propaganda is more the case. I mean, in the 1980s, I was a CNN science feature producer. And back then, CNN was doing... investigative reporting. They don't. They just read what they're handed now, or they're doing entertainment news. But the same thing is true of Fox and of MSNBC. So they're just catering to demographics, but there is no real competition anymore in mainstream media. The competition died during the Bush administration, Bush Jr. At that time, the longstanding policy of the FCC that you could only control so many radio stations and only so many newspapers was overturned by the Bush administration. And so then that allowed for consolidation of all of the media at that time. I mean, there were many news outlets, and the competition was very fierce amongst the news outlets to really get credible stories out there. That's how, you know, you get a Watergate scandal being broken. And all of that died because you had folks like Clear Channel. They would go in, they'd buy up as many stations as they wanted. They'd go to the owners and just say, we'll make you a deal you can't refuse. And if you refuse it, you'll wish you hadn't. And so the owners sell out, take their cruises to Alaska and Hawaii. And then what they do is they go in and first off, they fire the news department. They may keep one or two people just for real important breaking local news. But that's the end of local reporting, investigative reporting. If a news department was doing international, all of that just stops right there. And they keep the sales department. They put a a black box into the front end of the studio that brings their feed from Los Angeles or wherever they're feeding. And then that's it. That's how you get one person who is like a Rush Limbaugh, who is out there, you know, all over the country because he's coming out of a, you know, one central location to all of the satellite operations owned by the same company. So we don't have a free media anymore. We don't have anything that looks competitive. I mean, now I can remember when I was at CNN, I was very proud. The competition was something else. We really worked to get good stories. And I think Larry King is right. They ought to change their name to the Cartoon News Network.
I sometimes call CNN the Clinton News Network. I don't know. What do you think of that? I mean, it's just crazy. What I see on the news is I've never seen such blatant dishonesty. Now, do you agree or concur?
Oh, I agree. I see it. But it's, you know, it's not news anymore.
Right.
People have really got to stop using the term media. They have to stop using the term news. The rightful term for it is propaganda.
Propaganda.
It's no different now than Soviet era Pravda. And they're just pumping out the corporate line. Whatever the corporations want, the United States is run by corporatocracy. We are not run. The idea of us being a republic is it's a quaint notion. That's not how it is. I remember last year my wife and I traveled cross country and drove all the way. And when we got to Reno, she said, you know, I noticed something. And we went through all these different states. She said, I saw more American flags on the side of chemical plants than I did on T-shirts. And, you know, when she said that, I just like, boom, that really hit me because that was exactly correct. So people understand that. They know that this is the way it is. And where it goes, it's just a lot of insanity, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But on the other hand, I just don't get all worked up about it because the game changer is coming.
I have heard that the law which forbids propaganda coming from the government was overturned within the past year or two so that we can legally now get propaganda from the government, which it seems like we're getting. And I don't even know if the government, it's correct to say from the government, because it seems like there are other forces that have penetrated our government. And I can't tell if they're foreign or just corporate or a little of both. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's just the globalists, the elitists, and, they've wrestled control of it, and, you know, they can pass all the laws that they want to pass, and that'll work to a certain point. And then, you know, there's going to be an event, a critical mass, that people just say enough is enough. And then things change. How they change, somebody once said that American elections are peaceful revolutions once every 4 years. Frankly, I don't think we're going to have another election. I think Obama, I agree with Ed Dames. He said that Obama's going to be the last president of this country, and I tend to agree with that.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that, and I'm going to go a little bit off the deep end here. I've been watching the current election, and I've seen some of the health problems of Hillary, or at least what I perceive as health problems. And then recently she made an appearance, and she looked 35 pounds lighter and shorter, and her hair looked different. And I was scratching my head wondering, am I looking at a body double? What's going on here? This whole election
mini me?
Is spring.
You know, that sounds like mini-me.
Explain.
You remember the movie with Austin Powers? You know, where he plays the evil guy, Dr. Doom or Gloom or something like that.
Okay.
Mini-me character. Oh, it's just going to go on. There's no point in aggravating yourself about it. All right. The deed is done. The country is stolen.
That's just
the way it is.
It's been stolen.
It's stolen. So just accept it. All right.
You're right.
And start with what's really important. That's planning and preparation.
You have a book called Surviving the Planet X Tribulation, right?
Right. Just came out with it.
I'll let you take it from there. That kind of segues into what you were talking about, I think.
Well, the thing is that you have all of these manipulations that are going on, and I always hearken back to a favorite expression of the Nazis during World War II. Nothing ever goes according to plan. And the elites are going to have the same situation. They've got all their little plans. But what's really important, okay, is that, and, you know, I've been asked, well, why is our government suppressing the knowledge? And the first thing I have to say is, whose government? We don't have a government anymore. We have a corporatocracy. Okay. So, you know, it's funny. It's a recurring theme. You go to the movies and it's always about corporatocracies. And then when you tell people, guess what? You see what you see in the movie? That's what you got, you know? And they're like, really? You know, I can't believe that. And it's, oh my gosh, you'd never underestimate the power of human denial. But the main goal of what they're doing, why they're controlling the propaganda flow, and that's what it is, it's propaganda flow, is that they want to have the highest possible death toll.
Really?
That's right.
That's a huge statement.
It's funny thing. You know, you go and you watch the movie 2012. Came out back in 2010, very popular. when that movie first came out, it was scheduled for a summer blockbuster release. Okay. And then all of a sudden, they pushed it back and they brought it out with the art films in November. And if you've got a summer blockbuster, that's kind of like committing Harry Carey.
Hmm.
But they couldn't do anything about it. They had to do it because when Emmerich first shot the movie, the causality was Planet X.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, if you watch the movie, the very first couple of seconds, he left it in out of defiance. And then if you watch how the film opens up in the beginning, where they're going to the solar causality and all that, it's herky-jerky, all right? It's just kind of chopped together. And they had to, you know, they had to do some reshoots and add some stuff, and but essentially the beginning of it was really changed dramatically. That's the reason why it came out late. So why is it that they want people to stay in place? Keep in mind, most people, the vast majority of people, live along the coastline. Coastlines are going to be negatively affected when the tsunamis and impact events and all of that starts to occur. So what's the point of keeping them there? Well, if you convince them that there's nothing to worry about and they stay where they're at, they will die in place. Convenient. Now, what is the benefit of making the people die in place? Because everyone goes, oh, that's illogical. That's insane. Who could do such a thing? How could our government lie to us about something that big? You ask them, does the government lie to us about other things? Oh, yes, of course. They'll always say, yes, it lies to us about other things. And I said, great. Where is it written that there's a truth threshold, that you can tell lies up to a certain point and you're getting away with it, and that there's a threshold where just out of conscience alone you're going to be honest with people? Where is this threshold? Where's the legislation? Where is it written? Is it in the Bible? Show me, show me, show me, show me. And they look at me and they go, you're a troublemaker. And so, you know, that's what they want to believe. But the bottom line is that towards the end of the tribulation phase, and by that time, you know, how many people are going to die? Well, look at the Georgia Guidestone. It says keep the population under 500 million. You know, it doesn't say how we get there, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So that's really what happens, is that because people are convinced to do nothing, those that are living along the coastlines will die in place. They'll drown like rats. Others will just simply, because they're not prepared, are going to fall to any number of things. You know, one of the things that the elites have done that's quite insidious is GMO.
And oh, yeah.
People think that, well, what's wrong with GMO? And I say, well, why don't you try living on packaged and canned GMO products to the exclusion of all fresh fruits and vegetables? That's it. You just live on, you know, you see these preppers and they have shelves with Kraft macaroni and cheese and Chef Boyardee, and they got all this, you know, cheap bang for the buck, okay? And what they don't understand is GMO destroys your lower gut. So
yeah.
Not only are you going to wind up with all kinds of GI issues, like, you know, oh, just, it'll just run the gambit. it'll just whole run a whole gamut because you GMO will just destroy your lower gut. You're not gonna your immune system is mostly in the lower gut.
Right.
All right. So you take out people's immune systems. You take out their ability to, you know, digest food. And what it's going to do is it's going to affect. I mean, there's people with cast iron guts. You know, they could eat rocks and be happy. But a lot of other folks, particularly those of us who are older,
right,
got a little bit of gray hair action going. Oh, my God. It'll just tear them to pieces.
Yep.
And so folks are going to suffer immeasurably. They are going to have their immune systems are going to be devastated as a result of GMO. There's just a whole host of things environmentally that they're creating. All of this is weakening, you know. We just can't run to the doctor and say, quick, give me a prescription for some miracle antibiotic. And there's not that many of them left. You know, there's only one antibiotic that's the antibiotic of choice for example, urinary tract infections. And now half the people in the country are resistant. So this is, you know, you have all these people weakened. So now where's the big bada bing? Where's the payoff for the elites killing all these people? It's towards the end of the tribulation, the worst of it, probably about 3 years. They will come up to the surface and tell who's ever left, and not going to be that many of them, and they're going to say, looky what we have for you. We have warehouses and warehouses and warehouses and bunkers and caves and all of this stuff loaded with food, medicine, seeds, construction material, clothing. We have everything necessary to rebuild. But you got to do one little thing for us. You got to take the chip.
Yeah.
Now, you take the chip, and people, you know, the story is going to be, well, I mean, this is just so that, you know, if you something happens to you, we can find you.
Right.
So it's just a transponder. Bullshit. It's a multi-frequency transceiver. And you can send and receive on multiple frequencies, and it'll be very powerful. The chip is going to be one of three kinds. It'll be an implant in your hand. It'll be a thermal imprint in your forehead. And for children, it will be an embed that will go into the soft part of the skull after they're born and become a permanent part of their body. Now, what will happen is that for the people that take the chip, it's going to be a very pleasant experience. It's literally going to be electronic Prozac. They're just going to walk around and life is cool, baby. Life is good. And all of the while, there's going to be programming coming down. They'll get satellites back up. And these things, keep in mind, the human body can light a 100-watt light bulb, okay? And so what can you do with 100 watts? Well, you see these folks out there that are ham radio buffs and they have mobile units in their cars. Those are 50 watts. And they can talk for 20, 30 miles on them. So we're talking about a lot of juice, a lot of go. But one of the interesting things, and I got this from somebody in the government who's a devout Christian, was really, really horrified by this. But they have identified what you could call the God frequency.
Oh, really?
People feel they have a connection with Creator. They feel the presence of God in their life. Well, once you've been chipped, you won't feel that anymore because they have identified the specific frequency, and the chips are going to have the ability to put up a blocking field, jam the signal. And so then God will become Baal or whoever the elites want it to be. And this is what's going to happen. Now, if they're going to get a whole bunch of people to get chipped, to get all of these little inducements, if you're coming up from your cave, your bunkers or your cities or whatever they got underground, and you're trying to say to 7 billion people, looky what we brung you, you're not going to get a lot of traction. But if you're saying to 500 million people, look what we brung you, and there's enough there that all of there, everyone's going to get something appreciable, now you have a leverage. You have incentive going for you. And that's it. That's what it's all about. They don't care about the people that they kill because they don't see us as human beings. They see themselves as human beings. They don't look at us any different than we look at mullet. You know, we're just bottom feeders. And, you know, so if they thin out the herd, so what? Give us, give us a jar of Viagra tablets and a whole lot of liquor, and we can do wonders. We're prolific. We breed. So that's the reason why they want a lot of people. It's control. They want to be able to exercise their control. And, now, if enough people, when that happens, stand up and they go, no, we don't want your trinkets. We're going to say no. Keep in mind, they're not saying no to the carrot. They're going to say no to the stick. That's the way the elites work. First you get the carrot, then you get the stick. But if enough of them say no and call the bluff, then the whole scheme fails. And humanity could very well, at that point, find itself for its first time in its history free. Because right now we're a slave species. We think otherwise, but we're a slave species. And that's the simple truth of it. So everything that I do and hope for is we have a Star Trek future, because enough of us just said, no, we'll live without. We don't want your trinkets. We don't want your chips. And it'll take a lot of courage. But if folks do that, there you go. For humanity, it's a good turn. You know, you ever studied the Hopi prophecy, Rock?
I've heard of the Hopi prophecies. They're very interesting.
Well, the Hopi prophecy, Rock, says we are coming to a point where we're coming to a fork in the road. And we can either continue on the path that we're doing, at which point we're not going to do all that well. And, or we take the high road. All right. And we have a whole new life. We have a whole new world. We have a whole new being. So the thing is that I firmly believe what God wants for us is to have that Star Trek future. God wants us to evolve. God doesn't want us to be slaves. And, think about it. Last time Planet X flew by, well, that was Exodus. And what was Exodus about? Look at it from a different point of view. You know, we talk about Moses as a religious figure, historical figure. I really think of him as an Egyptian general. I mean, that's what he was trained. He was trained. He was a prince of Egypt. He was trained to, and taught, brought up to lead the Egyptian army in battle. He was a master strategist. And he understood in chaos his opportunity. And he understood that when Planet X system came through, it would create chaos. And in that chaos, he would be able to extradite the Hebrews from bondage in Egypt. And so that's exactly what happened. Now, the last flyby broke the shackles of slavery and led the Hebrews to freedom. So why isn't it at this time we can't up the ante, take the game to a whole new level? Not just free a people, let's free a species. What do you think about that?
Well, it sounds good to me. So how far will the ocean move past the East Coast? Will we see the East Coast just get it wiped out with a gigantic tsunami, or do you have any specific predictions like that?
I think a good way to look at what will happen with the coast is to look at, you know, the movie Deep Impact came out in 98. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of good accuracy. You know, we tell people you want to, at a minimum, be 150 miles inland with an elevation of 2,000 feet.
2,000 feet? Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
So, it's, you know, it's hard to say how it all will play out.
Is it your idea that this will happen in the next couple of years from your perspective?
Yeah.
The next two?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think we're getting real close here.
What else has Ed Dames said about this?
Ed said that we will see it. You know, when he did his back in August 27th, it was his swan song. He's retired now.
Okay.
And he came out and he was real honest about it. Did, you know, it was a Planet X. It was billed as Planet X. He only spent, according to those who attended, he only spent 40 minutes talking about it. And then it was other enigmas. But what he did say about it was very powerful. Very, very powerful. And, you know, he said it's real. It's inbound. There could be a pole shift event. If there is a pole shift event, you know, we're looking at, he's talking about what he's, you know, and he has been talking about this consistently over the years. I have his 2004 kill shot video and where he talks about it, and that we will have the day of darkness because Nibiru, which is in the Nemesis system, Planet X system, will pass between the Earth and the Sun. When that happens, we're going to have the days of darkness, and that's also when we're going to have the pole shift. What Ed is particularly concerned with is that at that time we will have solar sprites or cosmic lightning bolts, if you will. And those could do tremendous, tremendous damage. And that's what he's really concerned about. But, you know, in 2015, I took a remote viewing class in Reno. And as a matter of fact, for those of you who, let me see, it is, it's called Exposing the Agenda. And at the end of that video, there's a nice cameo shot of me looking at him. And I thought that was, I kind of appreciated that Ed would do that. And but he's been telling people for years, this is it. It's the 11th hour.
Hmm.
That's it. It's the 11th hour. And people ask me, well, give me a date, give me a date, give me a date, give me a date, give me a date. And what I say to them is, look, preparation is not a date. It's a state of mind. Because you could have all kinds of things prepared. And guess what? Dumb luck. They get roasted on day one.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You see, if you're prepared mentally and emotionally, spiritually, then when everybody else is going, oh my God, we are so screwed, you're the one that just says, okay, folks, here's what we do. And in a command voice, you, and you get this, you get that. The rest of you follow me. And guess what? Everybody will do that. And those people are going to be really, really important to the survival of other people in what's coming. Now, the people who are prepared in that way are today are not at all considered to be human treasures. They're considered to be human trash. I ask people who've been in awareness, and I just say, well, okay, you're in awareness. Well, how many churches and study groups have you been kicked out of because of the questions you ask? And they just crack up. And because the truth is, name me one mainstream faith, just one, that has a study group on Planet X. Name me one. Okay? And if you do say something, what's going to happen? Well, your leader is going to say, you know, you're manifesting this. And that is, by the way, one of the greatest elite scams I have seen since I started in this, which is back in 2002, this whole manifesting deal. And you know, what I tell people who are studying it and following my work and all that, and I ask, well, what are you doing? How are you planning and preparing? Well, I'm studying it. Really? That's all you're doing? You're studying? Yeah, I'm studying. So you just come home from work and you just go and get on YouTube and you're looking for the latest and greatest videos that people go, I got it. I got the smoking gun. I'm so clever. You know, and that's all they want to do. I say, you know, when the time comes, everyone's standing out and they're looking at it and they know death's coming. They know they're at death's door. Don't tell them anything. Keep your mouth shut. If you go, I've known about this for years, but I didn't do a damn thing about it. But I've known about it for years, so listen to me. I'm clever. And I guarantee you, because you're going to be dealing with people who are completely, totally freaked besides themselves with fear. And you're going to have somebody, probably with a master's degree or a PhD, step out of the crowd, point a finger at you, that finger of fate, and go, you manifested this. It's happening because you wanted it to happen. And if we eliminate you, what you have manifested will go away. And guess what? You're going to hear a half a dozen people behind this PhD going, get a rope. And you're going to swing. You're going to die badly. So if you think planning and preparation is you study it so that one day you can go, aha, I knew, but I didn't do anything about it. You know, that's it. You're going to die very badly. So if you're just going to do that, you're just going to study, and do nothing about it. Then keep your mouth shut. That's all. Just keep your mouth shut. And you'll be, Well, then you can just die with the other people who were laughing at you all the time anyway. And it's as simple as that. People kind of get annoyed with me because I state the obvious, I state the truthful. Yeah. That's all. They're going to be people who survive. And it's not going to be, you think it's the people who have built $500,000 bunkers? I don't see good things for them. They'll sit in those bunkers and watch the sound of music in their indoor jacuzzi, eating their organic MREs and thinking they're clever. At some point, they got to come up and forage, and when they do, the worst sorts of people are going to smell their healthy bodies from up to a mile off, and then they're going to die very badly. But people who have been actively planning, preparing, thinking, doing, taking action, I don't care how much money you have in the bank, it's irrelevant. Because in the final analysis, it's what's between your ear balls that's going to decide whether you're going to survive. How well can you think yourself through? So when I wrote, you know, Surviving the Planet X Tribulation, my latest book, what I did was I said, well, okay, you know, everybody that could afford to build bunkers, and they have, and I've done a lot of consulting with these people, and hey, you can't complain when somebody just, you know, no problem. Out comes the long green. What do you think? Boom, zip. I love those people. And I got to pay bills just like everybody else, you know? Not like these idiots who go, well, you would do it all for free if you really cared. Yeah? How, you know, and you ask them, how do you pay your bills? And they're like, why live under a bridge? Yeah, great. I'm going to get a message out from underneath the bridge. But the point is that these people think it's me and mine thinking. That's all it is. It's me and mine thinking. And they're just setting themselves up to become food stock for the worst sorts of humans. And those, we're talking, you know, cannibals. There will be cannibalism. Okay. There will be gangs, warlords, all the worst sorts. Now, eventually, they will all die and fade away because bottom line is they can't create. They can only destroy and steal. And the people that can create are going to learn how to distance themselves, but they'll also become hard targets as well. That's the whole basis of Surviving the Planet X Tribulation, of a faith-based leadership guide. And that you're building survival villages of 100 or more people. And if you have 100 or more people and everyone is pulling together, as I say in the book, everyone works, everyone defends, everyone participates. And these communities are going to be very motivated, very well organized. They're hard targets. And, you know, in terms of cannibals, cannibals are going to be terrified because these communities will be the ones hunting them down and eradicating them. You know, find them and just boom, shoot them down like dogs. You know, this will be long after law and order has collapsed. You know, these will be very determined, very good strategic fighters. These groups are going to they're going to have their own guardian warriors, people who are former military, understand, you know, how they, you know, strategy and tactics. They understand how to set up a perimeter defense and how to make it bloody expensive for bad guys to think that they can come and take something. All right. So you're going to have that. That's the reason why I wrote the book for faith-based leaders, all right? And it's not because it's like I'm trying to say you're going to go prove your faith is right and all of that. No, not. I'm non-denominational. faith-based leaders and faith-based organizations have inherent strengths that other organizations do not have. First and foremost, they have an accepted chain of command. Yes, everything is political. Everything is political. But FBOs will have an accepted chain of command. The second thing is that FBOs have the ability to quickly organize on a logistic level. Yeah, it could take them 30 years to build a library, but in 3 days they'll respond to a catastrophe in a way that is completely magnificent. All right. Now, keep in mind, governments brag about how much money they spend on helping people, but in the final analysis, it's NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that really carry the weight. They do the bulk of it, and they're very effective, very, very effective. They're not looking for the photo ops. They're looking to really help people. Golly gee, who'da bunk it? And so there's your second advantage, that quick organization. Now, the third thing is diversity of skills. And I cannot overstate the importance of this. You work in a company, that company is going to have a certain number of people doing it, and probably your manufacturing is going to be in China, and you're just simply having clerical staff. But you're in the church. Well, to your left, you could be praying with a doctor. To your right, could be a sewage management guy. Ahead of you could be a car mechanic. Behind you could be a gunsmith. You know, one of them is a ham radio buff. The other one likes to shoot trap with a shotgun. I mean, there's this diversity of skills, and they also know a lot of other people in nonprofit organizations and groups that are going to have very useful skills that apply to a survival situation, because they're pursuing what's interesting to them. You're not saying, okay, we're just looking for MBAs. And it's going to be different kind of skill sets, all right? A guy that is, got a small landscaping business is going to be a lot more useful than a lawyer. Okay? It's going to be a changing dynamic. Accountants, people are going to say, we don't need to count the beans no more. We need to grow the damn things. what do you know about farming? Well, and things will change. And the whole point of it is that I've always been talking to people who are in awareness, and I do love them so. These people tend to be about 45 to 65. They can be older and younger, but that's the big age group. And they tend to have big hearts, little wallets. They've been in awareness for many years. Most of them, interestingly, since they were children. And these are, God bless them, these are salt-of-the-earth people, someone you'd want to have as a neighbor. And they have been spending their whole lives contemplating and thinking about what's coming. They've had dreams, visions, premonitions about what's coming. They have been mocked and ridiculed by friends, families, and spouses. They have been threatened with divorce, and sometimes divorced because they just simply couldn't pretend that it's a la-la world and take a Pollyannish glow just to satisfy everyone else, because they knew what they knew, and they couldn't make that go away. Not that most of them wanted to do that. They really do accept the responsibility of their awareness. The ones I feel bad for are the grandparents who have children with grandchildren living in ground zero places like Los Angeles. And they're tormented. Their children are saying, "You're crazy. You know, you raised me. You did a wonderful job. You got me through college. You did a wonderful job, but on this, you're just crazy. I don't want to hear about it. Nothing's going to happen. Shut up. And for God's sakes, don't tell my children." And these grandparents are just absolutely tormented because they're seeing their progeny at risk. And they're the ones that really want to know the date. The absolute date, more than anybody else I have ever talked to, it's the grandparents. And I never could figure that out until my wife made the observation. She said probably because they want to know when they're going to abduct their grandchildren to save their lives, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do. But that's the torment of it. And I see a lot of them, too, and they just go, "What's the point of knowing all that I know if I cannot afford a hill of beans? I can't afford the beans, the bullets, the bunkers. Why the hell should I know?" My message to them is, nah, it's not about can you afford a hill of beans. The question is, are you worth your weight in beans? You got to stop looking at your awareness as a punishment or a net negative. You have to understand it for how precious it is, how precious it makes you. Because if you're an awareness, odds are you've been an awareness since a child, dreams, visions, and premonitions. And you've been thinking about it. And you are emotionally centered. You have been abused for your awareness. And you are confident in your own inner knowing. That is worth something as well. You have been tested by fire. And then think about it when everyone's looking up at the sky. And when that happens, we're going to have CNN, Fox, and MSNBC with the talking heads going, "It's just an interesting light show, folks. Don't worry about it. It'll just fly on by." And you know what? I'm sorry to tell you, but you wonder why the Georgia Guidestones say keep population under 500 million. It's because most folks are going to buy that lie. When their government lies to them, and it will, mark my word, they're going to go, "That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Let them do the thinking for me. Hell, that's why I pay taxes." But there are going to be enough amongst those who are going to look at that and go, "I'm not buying that happy nonsense. I see a clear and present danger." See, it's the question that you ask. Everybody asks the question, "When am I going to see it with my own eyes? When am I going to see it with my own eyes? When am I going to see it with my own eyes?" You know, it's kind of like there's an old expression in Texas, anyone will stop to watch a dog fight. And people who say, "When am I going to see it with my own eyes?" they're the ones that are going to do most of the dying in the tribulation. The reason why they're going to be the ones that do most of the dying is because they'll look at it, they'll see it with their own eyes, and then they're going to let somebody tell them what they're seeing. They're not going to take responsibility for their own life. They're not going to take responsibility for their own intellect. They're not going to take responsibility for understanding it in a way that resonates with them because they put that truth in them, in themselves. They're going to listen to talking heads, and they're all going to say, "Be happy, don't worry." There you go. That's what they're going to do. Just going to be an interesting light show. Don't worry about it. Then when the death and dying happens, it's getting really bad, and that's when they'll come out. And then they'll say, well, it's a little worse than we originally thought. We have had to recalculate everything. And yes, there's going to be these little problems here and those problems there. And we're going to be honest with you. We didn't see that coming, but now we do. So here's what you have to do. You just keep doing nothing. And guess what? You know, never underestimate the power of human stupidity. Most people are going to do that. They're going to go, well, they, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. They were honest with us. They said they made a mistake, and now we don't have to worry about it. But we just have some problems, and, well, that's all understandable. And then they start dying like rats, and at that point, there's nothing to be done for it. So we're going to see all that. But you're going to have the people who are going to see, they're going to ask the right question. The death question is, what am I going to see with my own eyes? That's the death question. The life question, the survival question is, when will I believe what I am seeing with my own two eyes presents a clear and present danger? Let me repeat that question, because that's the life question. See, that's the one that is going to make a difference between you drowning like a rat and dying like a fool. I'm sorry to say that, but if you're going to let people waltz you to your death, then yes, a fool's born every minute, and you're a fool for letting people do your thinking for you and killing you and your loved ones in the process. So let me repeat that life question again, because that's the right question. It's the one that's going to save you and your loved ones. When will I believe what I am seeing with my own two eyes to be a clear and present danger? Now, that's where my book, Surviving the Planet X Tribulation, comes in. And what I am telling people is, here's the strategy. I actually put it right on the back of the book. Stand by. Let me get that. If you get my book, here exactly is what I say on the back. And this is a paragraph that is just for those in awareness. For those in awareness, know this. You are in awareness because God intends for you to be a part of the solution. Your role is to be a mentor, a comforter, and a teacher during the tribulation. Read and study this book thoroughly to prepare yourself for your true mission. Then, when a spiritual leader you admire and respect is seeing the same clear and present danger that you are, your path is simple. Hand that leader this book as you say, you need a plan. And this is the plan that will work for what is coming. Please read it. And if you have any questions, I am always at your service. That's the strategy. So if you're in awareness, that's it. You not only have the plan, but you have a way to become worth your weight in beans.
Well, Marshall, I appreciate you coming on the show. Did you want to tell people quickly about your website?
Yes, it's youwusa.com, or you can go to marshallmasters.com. And our website also for the book. The book has its own domain name, Planet X Tribulation. It's all one word, Planet X Tribulation. So that, or MarshallMasters.com with two L's, or Yowza, YOWUSA.com.
Have a great evening, Marshall. We'll talk to you next time.
You